Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kean. Today, we'll discuss the article by Blaustein et al. Titled Molecular Mechanisms Linking Salt to Hypertension. This article published online ahead of print, November 4th, 2011. My guests today are Associate Editor Irving Zucker, Senior Author Mordecai Blaustein, and Leading Expert John Osborne. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. In 1960, Irvin Page first proposed the mosaic theory of hypertension. He proposed that the cause of essential hypertension was multifactorial in a very integrative fashion. While no single cause of essential hypertension has been definitively recognized, many of the factors that contributed to hypertension are known. I think there's general agreement that alterations in the central nervous system and the kidney and the vasculature are all necessary for the establishment of chronic hypertension. In this review by Blaustein and colleagues, it focuses on the interplay between salt and the secretion and actions of endogenous wabane, originally described by Hamlin and colleagues in 1991. Morty, could you summarize how endogenous wabane might contribute to salt-sensitive hypertension and how it's involved and plays a central role in the brain vascular axis?
Endogenous wabane has both rapid and slow effects, and it affects both the brain and the vasculature. Endogenous wabane appears to be secreted by the hypothalamus and is involved in a brain endogenous wabane angiotensin II pathway that chronically upregulates central sympathetic drive. It also acts on the periphery, and this is circulating wabane, from the adrenal cortex, which has two effects. One is the effect we well know, which is activation of calcium signaling. It's a very rapid effect mediated by sodium pump inhibition and the sodium calcium exchanger. But it also has, and perhaps more importantly, a very slow effect. That is, it affects protein kinase signaling that is activated by wabane and the sodium pump. And this is a new area that's been studied for, let's say, the last decade or so. And here it leads, strikingly, to increased expression of sodium-calcium exchange in the smooth muscle, and also to increase in receptor-operated channel proteins, such as TRPC6.
Clearly, this is a very complicated interplay of a variety of factors. And I wonder if John, who's done a significant amount of work in the interplay between sodium and angiotensin, can comment on how endogenous wabane, at least from the sympathetic standpoint, alters blood pressure. And then we can come back to what may be happening in the peripheral vasculature. John?
Sure. Thanks, Irv. It's a great review, Morty, that takes this big picture view of thinking about salt and high blood pressure, which is extremely important in cardiovascular disease, and asks the questions of how these systems are integrated. And it's interesting that if we think about salt and blood pressure, it's been commonly believed that that must be due to kidney function because the kidney controls salt excretion. But what we've learned over the years in a number of systems is that hormones that control the kidney and salt excretion, eventually we find they affect the vasculature and the brain, and that's the case here. So, for example, angiotensin and aldosterone are both known to control sodium excretion from the kidney, but it turns out the receptors for both of these hormones are in the vasculature and in the brain, and specifically in the brain, it looks like angiotensin and aldosterone can act on the receptors and change the response of the brain to salt in the diet. In other words, increase the sensitivity of the brain so that you get activation of the nervous system. And what is covered in this review article, the work of Morty and his colleagues, Elise Gomez-Sanchez, did early work on the idea that the sodium channels that are kind of key to this, these epithelial sodium channels, named for that because they're found in the kidney, are in the brain. They're controlled by these hormones and linked to endogenous wabane. So we have the situation where it seemed to make sense that the kidney played the central role, as pointed out in the review. But this work shows that, in fact, the brain seems to be a major player in how salt increases blood pressure through activation of angiotensin, aldosterone, and ultimately endogenous wabane effects of salt. So it's a beautiful review and very important in terms of trying to understand how all of these things interplay in salt and high blood pressure.
So we've had a nice discussion about how the brain might be influenced. How does endogenous wabane affect the peripheral vasculature, which ultimately has to increase its resistance to sustain hypertension?
I don't want to minimize the role of the kidneys, but we certainly think that there's redundancy in the system, as John already alluded to, the same transport systems, the same hormones acting in multiple places, and they're all acting synergistically. And what's striking here in the vasculature is that the evidence actually from a number of types of hypertension showing that the sodium-calcium exchanger and trip channel proteins are upregulated in multiple forms of hypertension. And that includes things like salt-sensitive hypertension, Milan hypertensive strain. We've even seen it in angiotensin II-induced hypertension, which suggests that there's a complex interplay between what happens in the brain and in the periphery. And it looks like the wabane acts on sodium pumps to increase the activity of a protein kinase cascade that upregulates these proteins, leads to the synthesis and activation of these proteins. So not only does the sympathetic nervous system now act on the smooth muscle to increase vascular resistance, but the increased sympathetic drive acts on a periphery which is primed to increase its resistance, so that the activity does not have to be, the sympathetic drive doesn't have to be that great in order to help maintain the chronic increase in resistance. And the last thing I would say is this may well be what Arthur Guyton referred to as whole body autoregulation. We now see some changes that occur actually in the vasculature that functionally help to maintain the increased vascular resistance and elevated blood pressure.
Since you mentioned Arthur Guyton, maybe we can discuss how this overview, this interrelationship with the brain, the vasculature and the kidney fits in or contrasts with Guyton's theory of a renal set point for pressure naturesis. And either of you can comment on that, but clearly this may be synergized with his hypothesis, or is it contrary to it?
That's a great point. And I think what's come out of recent studies is that the idea of the kidney being driving hypertension, which was Guyton's view, is now being challenged by the fact that almost every single model of salt-dependent hypertension that's been looked at, if you administer drugs into the brain specifically, for example, if you block the sodium channels in the brain, epithelial sodium channels, you block endogenous wabane, you can block angiotensin receptors. Many of these models are completely prevented by these interventions in the brain, which suggests that the sympathetic nervous system is certainly playing a bigger role than what was acknowledged by the Guyton model. The other thing I want to just add quickly is this has a bigger impact in that we know that if you activate the sympathetic nervous system chronically in people, that leads to all kinds of things besides just increased blood pressure, vascular remodeling, endothelial dysfunction. So if we understand the link between salt in the diet and sympathetic activity, it has a wider impact. There were studies by Weinberg that showed a long time ago in people, if they have salt-sensitive hypertension early on, even when they have low blood pressure, that's a great predictor for cardiovascular disease. So the implications for this are beyond even high blood pressure itself.
Thanks, John. Morty, any closing words?
Yes. You know, this doesn't throw out the kidney in playing an important role, but clearly there's a major set point, if one looks at that, in the brain in controlling the blood pressure level, and we don't understand yet how that apparently is reset. But there is obviously redundancy in the system. I think all of the mechanisms are helping salt excretion through the pressure naturesis and the elevated blood pressure. But they're acting in multiple levels. The same mechanisms or similar mechanisms are working, maybe in slightly different ways. And clearly the effect on the periphery is if you have these changes which are now demonstrable in the smooth muscle, that too can contribute to the vascular remodeling. The vascular remodeling does not start the process, but the increased sympathetic drive and the other, what we would call functional remodeling changes in the artery may contribute to the structural remodeling that appears so prominently with established hypertension.
Thanks, Morty, and thank you both for a great discussion. Kara, back to you.
And thanks for listening to this AJP Heart and Circ podcast.